familiar portions of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, 'I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife.' Then his father and his mother said unto him, 'Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?' And Samson said unto his father, 'Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well.' But his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down and his father and mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands, and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion." Praise the Lord. I want to preach tonight on four reasons Samson slew the lion. Four reasons that Samson slew the lion. Whether you realize it or not, you have an adversary that the Bible speaks and of him and gives him in relation to a lion. Said your adversary, that's every one of us. Amen. You have an adversary that walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Well, in our text, we all know that Samson had a supernatural birth. An angel appeared to Manoah's wife, which was Samson's mother. Told her she was going to bring forth a child. He would be set for the deliverance of Israel out from under the hand of the Philistines. That he would be a Nazarite from his mother's womb. That he was not to ever let a razor pass over his head, nor to drink wine or any fruit that came from the vine. And the Bible tells us that Samson was born, and as he was just a young man, the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan. If there's anything greater than having the blessing of a godly mother and father, it's to have the Spirit of the Lord to begin to move you. Young people, it's wonderful to have Christian mom and a Christian dad that brings you to church, but there's something even better, and that's to have the Spirit of the Lord to begin to work in your life. I don't think you can find God too soon. when I read a report recently that we're being plagued now, almost epidemic, of preteen pregnancies among young girls, it tells me the sooner they can meet with Jesus, the sooner they can get an experience with the Lord, the sooner things will be better for them in life. Am I right? So the Bible said, the Spirit of the Lord began to move Samson at times in the camp of Dan. But Samson went down to his enemy's camp, to the Philistines. And there he saw a woman and he fell in love with her. And he told his parents when he came back, I've seen this daughter of the Philistines in the camp of the Philistines, and I want you to get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But Samson's father said to him, are there no daughters? Are there no girls here in Israel that you'd go down to the camp of the uncircumcised to take a wife? And lots of times I like to tell the young men, amen, are there no girls in holiness that you'd go out there in the world and get one of those flappers? Oh yes, amen, to be a wife. But this was of God, for God had sought an occasion against the Philistines. So the Bible says that finally Samson's mother and father gave in, and they started on the road down to the camp of the Philistines, amen, to get Samson a wife. And when they came by the vineyards of Timnath, a young lion roared out against Samson. And so I want to preach on four reasons Samson killed that lion. The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Reason number one that Samson killed the lion challenged Samson. Samson was not out trying to make a reputation as a lion killer. Samson was not in the lion killing business. He was on his way to see his girlfriend. But this lion challenged him. And I'd like to tell every young preacher and every young Christian, you'll have enough trouble with the devil, amen, when he challenges you without you challenging him. Oh yes, amen. If all you have to do is preach holiness. I drove up on the parking lot of a church some time ago. A preacher came out from across the street, said, are you Brother Rich? I said, yes, I am. He said, well, I don't come to this church, but I'm a preacher. He said, I just wanted you to know that you're looking at a fella that really likes to stir the devil up. Said, are you one of those kind that likes to stir the devil up? And I said, well, I have enough trouble with the devil just preaching the Word of God, living a sanctified life, and declaring, thus saith the Word of the Lord. He said, well, I thought I might come and hear you. You was the kind of fellow that liked to stir the devil up, but since you're not, I probably won't come and hear you. But listen, Samson was on his way to see his girlfriend, and the lion challenged Samson. And when the lion challenged Samson, amen, it had reached a place now whether it was either to conquer or be conquered. And sooner or later, you're going to meet your adversary right on territory when you wasn't expecting him. But the lion surprised Samson. Oh yes, a ferocious lion, a young lion, roared against Samson. A ferocious lion met a ferocious man full of the power of the Spirit of God. I don't know, the Bible doesn't record it, but I wonder if that lion went, arr, and Samson turned around, arr. Oh yes, I don't know. Amen. But the lion challenged Samson, and Samson looked at that lion, and the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he took that lion and slew him as he would slay a little kid, and he had nothing in his hand. Oh, I'll get to that here in just a little bit. But listen, reason number one that Samson slew the lion challenged him. Now listen, preachers, amen, God, amen, did not tell us to go out picking fights with the devil. He gave us a commission to preach the word of God. He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and he tells us to live a sanctified, holy life. And you're going to have plenty of trouble with the enemy of your soul, amen, just trying to live for God and make heaven your home. Can you say amen? Reason number two, and I like this one. The lion stood between Samson and his love. Oh, he had fallen in love with this girl. No doubt she was his dream. No doubt he couldn't sleep at night. His heart probably pounded. And now here is a lion in the way, amen, to stop him from going to see his love. Hear what I'm telling you tonight. Oh yes, I fell in love with a little black-headed girl, amen, about 45 years ago. Married her 41, almost 42 years ago. And I don't mind telling you, amen, I love all of you sisters in the Lord. I love all you brothers. But I don't want nobody here nor anywhere else to get between me and my love. And one day I fell in love with Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, the lover of my soul. And many times on my journey to go see Jesus, amen, I've had my adversary to roar out against me. But I'm telling you, I'm going to go home to see my love. And I don't want anything to stand between me and my love. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And reason number three, and I've got to stop here and preach. Reason number three that Samson slew the lion. The Bible said it was a young lion. And Samson knew that if he didn't take care of this lion now, today, every day he spared it, oh, he might, when that spirit came on him, he might have, could have ran and gotten away from the lion. But he frequented this road often. And he probably thought, I'll be bringing my new wife back up this road. The best thing I can do is to slay this lion while he's small and while he's young. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? He knew that lion every day that he lived would get stronger, would become more skilled in its attack. Amen. It would become more ferocious. Oh, so he said, now, while the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, while I feel the power of the Holy Ghost, and while this lion is still young and small and not skilled in his attack, I'm going to kill him right now. And he took that lion and rent him apart. You must understand, it was the Spirit of the Lord that came upon Samson. The power of God did not hit that lion. The Spirit of the Lord did not hit that lion. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, and it endued Samson with such power that he was able to slay that lion. And listen to me, you might pray, oh God, take all my temptations away, take all my problems away. God's not going to do it. But if you'll stay in the presence of the Lord, he'll give you power to destroy that which is keeping you from your love. Listen. The Bible said he had nothing in his hand. Did you know that one of our greatest hindrances in the Holiness Church is we have too many things we're leaning on and too many things we're trusting in other than the Spirit of the Lord? Too many things we put our confidence in. But Samson had no weapon. He had no sword, but he had the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. And the Spirit of God took care of that lion through the power of, God. Samson was able to destroy him. Here's what I want to preach to you tonight. You better take care of that weakness. You better take care of that sin now before it gets any larger. Every day you allow sin to survive, every day you pet that little sin, that little feeling, that little grudge, that little secret sin in your heart, it gets bigger and larger every day. Hear me, the time to destroy sin is while it's small. It was a young lion, and Samson said, I'll take care of him while he's little. Oh, talk to that old alcoholic down on the street. He'll tell you there was a day when he just tipped a few beers. But now, alcohol is his master and he is the servant. Talk to that drug addict. Well, he said, man, it was fun when I first started out puffing a few joints. But I moved on to stronger stuff. Now I'm hooked on crack and cocaine or heroin. And it's my master and it's hard to slay now. Amen. Talk to that homosexual, that man that's wrapped up in perversion and evil lust and burning desires. Amen. The man that feeds from pornography and filth on the movies and the videos. And he'll tell you there was a day I could have conquered this sin real easy, but I let it live. And now these vile habits are only going to destroy me. Listen to me. Amen. You better get rid of that worldly tendency while it's small. Oh, help me while I preach. Oh, you say, well, I just kind of want to look a little fashionable. I don't want to be real worldly, but I've got a little tendency to sort of fit in with the world. You better get rid of that when it's small, or after a while you will be its slave and it will be your master. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, boys. Amen. If you've got an effeminate spirit, if it's trying to attach to you, you better get rid of it while it's small. For the Bible says, you're going to help me preach tonight. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, the effeminate shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You don't have to be wrapped up in homosexual activity. Just be effeminate. Amen. Try to dress and act like a girl. Are you listening to me, boys? Amen. Hang a little necklace around your neck. An earring in your ear. Amen. Go to twisting and mincing when you walk. Amen. The first thing you know, that homosexual spirit will take a hold of you. You better take care of that when it's small. Yo, hallelujah. Listen to the old holiness preacher. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, that spirit, Sister Davis has already mentioned, it's trying to take our land. For as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it also be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. And some of us are too spiritually blind to realize that we're living right on the threshold of the coming of the Lord. It's another sign. You can never pick up a paper. Not one day can you pick up a USA Today paper. What, there's not articles in there about what they call the gay society. Hey, listen, you better get rid of that spirit while you can. One boy, he was wearing an earring in his ear. Run into this old holiness preacher. And the preacher said to him, why are you wearing that earring? He said, because my friends like it. Well, what kind of friends? And he said, well, let me ask you a question, young man. Are you homosexual? Are you in the the gay society? He said, oh no. He said, if I was a homosexual, I'd wear the earring over in the other ear. The old preacher looked at him and said, you're just about that far away from becoming one. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to me. Amen. If I got up in the morning and I talked like a woman, I'd go down to the hardware store. I'd get me some double-aught sandpaper. I'd send my throat out until I could talk like a man. Hallelujah. You better kill it while it's small. Oh, I know you mamas may think it's really nice that your little boy is so loving and so effeminate, but you wait till he grows up and he's got a perverted lifestyle. Hear me, y'all gonna help me, aren't you? Amen. Girls, you better quit trying to be masculine. Oh yes, in the beginning God made them male and female, created he them. Amen. Whenever you put on your pants and your Wranglers and your Levi's and your jeans and get you one or two of these tattoos on your arms or legs, you're on your way to destruction. The time to take care of it is in this old-fashioned revival tonight, where there's people here that will pray with you and seek God with you. Preach on, preacher man, preach on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One preacher said that he ran into a man that was walking down the street wearing a dress, smoking a cigar. Woo! The old preacher backed him up against the wall and told him, said, why are you doing that? And he said, well, said, I just started doing it, and said, the guys at work like it. And when I first started doing it, I was the only one that come to work with a dress on. But said, now there's several men wearing dresses. So the old preacher told him, said, God has already destroyed one society and one economy because of this sin. And said, he'll probably destroy you in hell. And the old boy looked at him and said, you're probably right, preacher, but I know your church and I know some of your members. Said, why don't you go back down to your church and get your women out of those men's pants? Amen. And then come back down here on the street and try to get me out of this dress. Hey, listen to me, brother. Amen. You gotta kill those things while they're small. Oh, you cannot think temptation away. Positive thinking and humanism can never get rid of sin. Hey, pastors, when you see that spirit of worldliness coming in, you better take care of it. When you start seeing rings and things, amen, coming into the church, the time to take care of it is while it's small. After a while, it'll get a hold of the church, and the church will turn to the world and become a liberal church. We are holiness people, aren't we? Amen. It's a holy heaven and a holy God that commissions us. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Woo! Oh yes. Take care of it while it's small. I was in a church some time ago, a holiness church, and preacher's up preaching. He said, boy, I feel a devil around here. Somebody go get me a broom. I'm going to show you how foolish people are. And somebody went and got him a broom. He told another brother, said, you go back there and hold the back door open. We're going to sweep the devil out of here. I'm here to tell you, the devil's not afraid of your broom. They started sweeping, you know. And some started shouting like they're sweeping the devil out. Oh, no, no, no. The Bible says in Acts 1 and 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If we're going to get the devil out, we're going to have power through the power of the Holy Ghost. Many times, instead of slaying the lion, we try to tame him. Amen. We try to rehabilitate him. We try to set up a program so we can be in peaceful coexistence. But I'm here to tell you, there is no peaceful coexistence with the devil. You've got to destroy him like Samson destroyed that lion. Had Samson not destroyed that lion would have destroyed Samson. And hear me, the reason we're preaching Calvary, the reason we preach the blood, it's the only place I know where you can destroy sin in your life. But there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. Listen, what are we going to do with the devil? Well, I say get full of the Holy Ghost. Bring the enemy to where the blood's at. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4 and 27, neither give place to the devil. That means don't give him an opportunity. Don't give him a chance at your life. Neither give place to the devil. Amen. Jesus said in Luke 10 and 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The Bible said in Genesis 3:15, God speaks to Satan and says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And the God of peace, the Bible says in Romans 16 and 20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan's head shortly under your feet. There's only one thing, amen, one place to put Satan, the devil, and that's to put him under your feet. Amen. Get him down there where he belongs. He don't belong in your marriage. He don't belong in your ministry. He don't belong in your worship. He don't belong in your church. Amen. He belongs under your feet. If you're going to bruise his head, then he's got to be under your feet. Got to put him right down there under your feet. That's where I got him. But it takes more than just writing Satan on the bottom of your shoes. You've got to have power in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Put him where he belongs. Amen. He belongs under the feet of the sanctified. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way that ye may escape. Hallelujah. And that ye may be able to bear it. The Bible said in 2 Peter 2 and 9, for the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Listen to me. I'm not going to run out on the devil's territory, but I'm not going to let him walk on me. Amen. I'm going to walk on him. I've been redeemed by the blood. My name's inscribed in the Lamb's book of life. The Lord has given me power through the Holy Ghost. And so I'm going to tread on the devil instead of him treading on me. Hey, why should we let someone who don't even carry the keys to his own house bind us up? Woo! He don't even have the keys to his own house. When the Lord descended into the lower parts of the earth, the Bible said it was there Amen. That he stripped the keys of death and of hell from Satan. He led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. Listen to me. I'm not going to let the devil run over me. I'm not going to run out and see how many fights I can pick with him. But when he starts trying to hinder my progress to see my love, the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And no weapon, Isaiah the prophet said, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. You got to make up your mind that you're going to slay him, not pet him. You can't pet him around. Nice little kitty. Maybe little now, but he's going to get bigger. You know, you can take an old skunk, spray a little perfume on him, get you some Avon, get you some of that $100 an ounce one night in Paris, spray on him. You can cover up the smell for a little while, but the skunk in him will come out after a while because he's a skunk. And listen to me, brothers and sisters. Amen. You may can hide your sin for a little while. Amen. You may can get in some kind of a rehab program and cover up the old carnal sinful nature for a while. But you've got to bring him to the cross. You've got to crucify the flesh. Oh, hallelujah. And when you do, you're going to rise up with victory in the name of the Lord. For it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. So number four, and I'll be closing. Number one, the lion challenged Samson. Number two, it stood between him and his love. Number three, it was a young lion, unskilled in his attack. And number four, the reason Samson killed the lion, number four, he knew others would be passing down that road. Oh, hey, brethren, you younger preachers, that's why old Brother Rich has stood right there firm for over 40 years and preached holiness or around 40 years is because others are coming down this road. You say, well, I know preachers that's messed up and they got forgiveness. Yes, I'm not saying you can't get forgiveness, but somebody is coming down that same road and their same lion that attacked at you will may destroy them. Hear what I'm telling you. Amen. Others are going to be coming down this road. We've got young people here, young beautiful girls. Say thank you, Brother Rich. Hallelujah. And young, handsome young men coming right down this same road. I want to kill the lions and make it easier for you along the way. It's true, there's some things that don't bother me at all. There's some things I got victory over years ago. But there's others behind me that may be weaker than I. So I must destroy the lions lest he destroy the weak ones. That's why I don't have a television. I don't have a video or a VCR. Amen. I might could have a VCR and never go down and rent an old filthy movie and look at it. I might be strong enough, but I've got 6 grandsons coming along behind me that's weaker than I, and that thing might destroy them. So the best thing to do, amen, is just go ahead and destroy the lion on the way. Preach on, preacher man. Woo! Hallelujah. Don't you like holiness preaching? Or I'll get over for the week's over and give you some more honey and peaches and cream. But tonight I feel like telling you, amen, you need to destroy, amen, the lions in the way because others will be passing that way. You remember that old song, I'm working the road, Amen. Amen. Helping the weak and blind. I want to clear out the road that leads to heaven abode and make it easier for those behind. Hey, young people, you're not going to be able to point your finger at Brother Don Rich and say, well, he spared this or he spared that. I'm just going to wipe it out on my way and leave you a clean path. And if you want to follow on, you can make it into heaven too. Then, after Samson slew the lion, he come back down that very same road. Oh yes, he did. Come right back down that same road. Passed by that same vineyard. Said, you know, right here is where I had one of the greatest battles in my young Christian experience. So I'm going to turn aside and see what's happened around here. Right over here is where I drug his body and left it. I'm so glad I've got several carcasses laying beside the road of life that God's helped me win the victory over. When he turned aside, instead of ferocious lion roaring against him, he got to looking and said, God has turned my battle and trial into sweetness. And he reached inside that carcass where was a swarm of bees and took out honey out of the honey cone and went on eating. I can see it running clear down to his elbows, run on eating, and gave it to his mother and father, and they did eat. Hear what I'm telling you. If you'll destroy that sin, that weakness, that habit in your life tonight, amen, the next time you pass this road, there'll be a blessing for you. There'll be sweetness for you. There'll be something there you can rejoice in. But if you don't destroy it, the next time you'll have a battle. It'll be harder. Harder to win it next time. Harder to fight against it. Harder to resist. You know, sometimes backsliders and sinners, they feel the tug to come to God. They don't come. The next time it's harder. And the next time it's harder. Oh yes. I've talked to a lot of people. Hey, they started out. Things were small in their lives. But they just kept sparing. And kept sparing. Oh, I think I'm going to preach me a sermon now. Getting a new thought on carcasses by the side of the road. Woo, hallelujah. Man, I've got a lot of them laying out there. Praise God. Old country and western music's laying there. Amen. Old televisions. Amen. Lust of the flesh. Amen. The things, oh, that would destroy my soul. I've done won the victory over them. I can walk down the street now and I'm not enticed. Amen. I don't care how many flappers come in front of me. I'm not enticed. How do you do that, Brother Rich? There's only one way, and that's to slay that spirit of lust and evil desire. You can't do it just singing and shouting and jerking and jumping and leaping. Amen. You can do all of that, and underneath there'll be a thin, underneath that thin veneer, there'll be a boiling pot of lust and evil desire. But I know a sanctifying power. It is the blood of the Lamb of God, and it'll destroy those evil desires in your life. Woo! We were preaching some time ago in another state. Young man had prayed 4 or 5 times in the altar. One day he told his grandpa, he was about 20 years old, living with his grandfather, said, I want to start early to church tonight. Grandfather said, all right. Figure maybe want to come and pray. They got down to the river, started across this river bridge, and the grandson told his grandpa, said, when you get out in the middle of this bridge, stop. What? Yeah, stop. Stopped. Said, open the trunk. Opened the trunk, and they said he had over $3,000 worth of CDs and cassettes of old filthy singers like Michael Jackson and some of them other no good fellas. And he made a donation to the river that night. It's a wonder the river would have even accepted it. Hallelujah. Oh, destroy the lions in your life. Get rid of those evil desires. You say, well, Brother Rich, I'm not strong enough. I know that. I know you can't do it by yourself. Samson did not kill this lion by himself. Had Samson had to destroy that lion, Brother Jackson, with his own strength, that lion would have tore him to pieces, and he'd all the rest of Samson's life would have never been recorded, and what little bit was recorded would have been history. But when the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, how many felt the Spirit of the Lord in this meeting? Oh, God, that's a time, amen, to get rid of it. That's a time to get rid of it. Oh, hallelujah. That's a time, those habits, that little bit of hatred, that little grudge. You say, well, it's not too bad. I'm a little bit, I got a little grudge. Yeah, but tomorrow it'll be bigger. Amen. Say, I've got a little bit of jealousy against so-and-so. Oh, Brother David Miller can sing better than I can and preach better than I can. So I'm a little jealous. Tomorrow that jealousy will be a little bit bigger. And the next day it'll be larger. And the next day it'll be larger till after a while that jealousy will turn into hate. And it'll be hard to destroy it. But when you first feel it challenge you, that's the time to destroy it. Oh, hallelujah. Would you lift your hands and give him a praise? Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to close. But listen to me. Listen to me. I want to know something tonight. Say, well, Brother Rich, you're preaching right to me. You guessed it. You guessed it. Yeah, you guessed it. Ooh. But put him under your feet. Hallelujah. And walk on him instead of him walking on you. I wonder, while every head's bowed, how many lift your hand quickly and say, Brother Rich, there's something in my life that's challenging me and my Christian experience, that's standing between me and my love, that's standing between me and making heaven my eternal home. And I want prayer tonight. Would you raise your hand quickly in the name of Jesus? A lot of hands going up. Are there others? Are there others? You'd say, Brother Rich, I'm going to make up my mind tonight that this will be the night that I will destroy the lion. Be sober. Be vigilant. What does that vigilant mean? Watchful. Always watching. Be sober. Be vigilant for your adversary. Not just Brother Riches, but your adversary. As a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Little feelings, little divisions that come into the church. You better take care of them while they're small. Little church fusses. Well, I don't know why I mentioned that, but I'm going to go ahead with it. If you don't take care of it while it's small, Brother Gabbard, first thing you know, the whole church will be divided. You've got to get rid of it while it's small. I know a church. I don't know why I'm on this, but God knows. I know a church that split over something. If they would have settled it when it first started, they would have only been two couples involved, two families. And they could have settled it easy. But that thing began to grow and began to involve others in the church until part of the church went this way. And part of the church went that way. And the body of Christ was divided. Say, well, who was right? It doesn't matter. Anything that causes you to be separated from your brother is wrong. Time to take care of us while it's small. One more time, I'm going to ask you. Amen. How many out there would lift your hand and say, Brother Rich, there's something in my life tonight that I need to slay. There's something I need to take care of tonight. Would you lift your hand quickly? Yes, I see those hands. I see those hands. Oh, God. Maybe it's small. But get rid of it now. Young man, maybe you're slipping around doing something in secret. Some small thing. Some small sin, but you know it's forbidden. Tonight, you can take care of it easily. But if you let it go after a while, nothing short of a miraculous act of God can ever set you free. Brother Collins may not agree with this, but I believe that he will. There are sinners that can walk into this, in those doors, walk down to this aisle, and kneel at this altar and say a little short prayer, and the Lord will immediately set them free and they'll be delivered. There are others that are so bound by the devil that nothing short of the church in travail and prayer for them will release them from the hold that the devil has upon them because they yielded the area of their life to the devil. You are a servant to whom you yield your members to serve. You must understand that you can become a slave to sin. I feel like there's others here that haven't lifted your hands. Several hands have already gone up. But whatever head remains bowed, we're getting